Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of We the Podcast. This is the podcast where we focus on how people outside of the millionaire and billionaire class experience the economy. Today, we got Nancy Altman. Nancy is an expert in Medicare for All and how a single-payer system would work. Nancy, tell us, what is Medicare for All?
President Franklin Roosevelt talked about having health care from cradle to grave. We now have it starting at age 65 to the grave, but we need it on a guaranteed basis starting at birth. Now, what most people mean when they say Medicare for All, they mean improved Medicare for All. We want to make it better for people who are currently on it, so it will be better for the entire population.
We hear about Medicare for All and about single-payer health care. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Single-payer is something that's been proposed really starting at the beginning of the 20th century. Medicare for All is much more straightforward. They're basically the same concept, but everyone knows what Medicare is. It's stood the test of time. There's nothing frightening about expanding Medicare to everyone. So the single payer is used as a boogeyman, so I prefer to talk about it as Medicare for All. Single payer is extremely efficient because it has one payer, a single payer, which is the federal government, and it actually provides more choice because right now private health insurance will restrict which doctors you can go to. You have to go in network and so forth. With single payer, you have every doctor in the country. So it is, all it really means is that it is the federal government who is sponsoring the insurance for you, the same way Medicare, the federal government, it's a federal government program of health insurance for everyone age 65 and over and for people with disabilities. Those are the most expensive groups, and we've already covered them. So now it's covering the rest of us, which is the easy part.
Some of the ideas that are being talked about are Medicare buy-in or public option. Is that Medicare for All, or is it something a little bit different?
They're very different. Okay. Medicare for All, people know what Medicare is, and the idea of expanding it to everyone is very popular. And so everyone's trying to get in on the act because the concept of Medicare for All is very popular. But don't be fooled. The idea of a buy-in, that was the public option that was talked about during the Affordable Care Act, that is not Medicare for All. That is, and it really is very unworkable. What we mean when we say Medicare for All is something very simple. It's what we have today, Medicare, but improved, so there are no premiums, no copays, no deductibles. It's all publicly financed, and you get it starting at cradle and ending in grave. Very simple, don't have to worry about it. Don't be fooled by all of these others that are jumping on the Medicare for All bandwagon, but proposing things that keep this complicated, unworkable system that we currently have.
You know, Nancy, a lot of people say that Medicare for All single-payer system would be incredibly expensive and we can't afford it, even though we just afforded a $1.5 trillion tax cut. What do you say? Is this right? Is there the money to have a universal single-payer healthcare system?
We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We pay about 18% of GDP on our healthcare, and that percentage is rising. Most other industrialized countries spend about half that, cover their entire population, and have better health outcomes. They have longer longevity, they have lower infant mortality. The reason that these other countries can do it is that a single-payer Medicare for All system is extremely efficient. So insurance is most efficient when it has as large a risk pool as possible, as many people covered as possible. The only entity in our society that can cover everyone on a mandatory basis is the federal government. Instead of high-paid CEOs at Aetna or Prudential, we have civil servants in the Department of HHS who are administering the program. With Medicare for All, there are no advertising costs, no concern about market share and so forth. So we can provide better health care more cheaply. We'll overall be paying less. It'll just be directing it to a different place. Instead of sending it to a private insurance company or paying for it for pharmaceuticals, it will go the same way Medicare is, to the government that will operate this system. So if you look at everything we're paying now for healthcare and what we would be paying under Medicare for All, it is considerably less. So we should not be fooled by people saying, oh, taxes are going to go way up. Taxes will be increased, but your premiums and copays and deductibles will disappear.
You know, a lot of folks criticize big, ambitious programs by asking, would it work? Can it work? But if I'm not mistaken, we already see single-payer systems working right now. European countries, Canada, Australia, they've had something like this for years. Can this program work in the United States?
It actually began in Germany in the 19th century, and we almost had it in this country at the beginning of the 20th century. This is not a new idea. It not only works in other countries, it works in this country. Medicare is extremely successful. As I say, it's stood the test of time. We are able to cover seniors and people with disabilities. People who are covered under Medicare love their Medicare. It is more popular than people who are covered under private insurance. In fact, people are just looking forward to their 65th birthdays to be able to be covered under Medicare. So this is not a new idea. This is not a strange kind of concept. It's really basic traditional values. And it is really the concept that this nation is founded on, that we have certain inalienable rights. And the right to life is dependent on the access and of guaranteed universal health care. So absolutely, this works. There is no question, as I say, it's Social Security. I mean, Medicare is also Social Security because their combined Social Security is over 80 years old. Medicare is over a half century old.
Okay, so that covers can it work, but can we do it? This is going to be a hard pass in Congress. What's the path forward?
The Democratic Party has really, a number of members have embraced this issue. As you know, your bill has 122 co-sponsors, which is quite a bit of the way there. Poll after poll after poll shows that the concept of Medicare for All is extremely popular. So I think you're exactly right. It is a matter of political will, and in the best sense of that idea, that we are a nation of one person, one vote. This is a very popular concept. Overwhelmingly, the American people want to see it. If members of Congress do their job and represent the will of the people, then it could be enacted as soon as we have someone in the White House who is willing to sign a bill that is Medicare for All.
Nancy, you're with Social Security Works. Thanks for all the work you do. Why have you been here talking about healthcare? What does this have to do with your organization, and Social Security in particular?
I am so glad that you asked that. Social Security, the founders of Social Security, understood it to be basic economic security. They understood that the most important part of economic security is a good paying job. To have a good paying job, you have to have minimum wage, you have to have maximum hours. I think you need a job guarantee. You need to have an education in order to be ready to take the job that you're to follow in your career. You still aren't economically secure unless you have insurance against the loss of those wages. You could lose those wages because you die prematurely, leaving young children. You can become old and unable to work. You can have a short-term or a long-term disability, and you need those wages replaced. In addition, no one can be economically secure if you're one illness away from bankruptcy. So you need health insurance from the cradle to the grave. That was the concept of Social Security when it was enacted. President Roosevelt talked about it as a cornerstone on which to build. It has since that time become somewhat narrowed. We now think of just what is Title II of the original Social Security Act as today what we think of as Social Security, the wage insurance against loss in the event of disability, death, or old age. But it's really returning to the roots. We understand that Social Security works, that Social Security is the very successful Social Security program, which we want to expand, but it also includes Medicare. It includes getting out of college without enormous debt, so it's debt-free public college. It's raising the minimum wage. All of those issues are encompassed within our concept, and which I think is really the founder's concept of Social Security.
Now, Nancy, is Medicare for All just sort of a thing for progressives? I mean, can business people or even conservatives and big business benefit from a single-payer system?
Excellent question. Poll after poll after poll shows that somewhere around, we had a poll recently that showed 65% of the American people, when asked, are you more or less likely to vote for a candidate who advocates Medicare for All? Something like 65% said yes. If this is a progressive issue, then 65% of our country is progressive. What this is an American issue. It's basic American values that we are individuals, but we also value family, we value community, we value sharing risks and responsibilities. All of those are inherent in the concept of Medicare for All.
What does this mean for businesses?
Medicare for All will be great for America's businesses. American businesses have to compete all over the world with other countries that have essentially Medicare for All system. In the United States, companies, you know, they say that in the car manufacturing that there's more spent on healthcare than there is on steel. That's something that's particular to the United States and makes our products much less competitive. Our patchwork system is extremely inefficient and it's extremely costly. It also binds workers because people don't want to lose their healthcare because it's linked to work. It's actually an historical accident that our healthcare is linked to work. It really came out because during World War II, there were wage and price controls, and it was a way to compete for workers. And without universal healthcare, unions pushed for these benefits. But what really makes sense is one system where we're all together, we share all our risks and all our responsibilities. We have universal guaranteed health care starting at birth. That will be wonderful for us. It will make people free to move, which will be efficient for distribution of labor, and it will make our businesses much more competitive.
Why isn't the Affordable Care Act enough? Why can't we just stay right where we're at right now?
The Affordable Care Act was very important in covering uninsured and trying to reduce costs and having better coverage for people who are underinsured. But as we've seen, it's been under constant attack, and that's not going to change. The individual mandate, which the creators of the Affordable Care Act thought was essential to the program, has now been repealed. The insurance benefits for insurance companies, which again the creators of the program thought were essential, are now gone. The administration is not advertising to get more people into the program. A number of states still haven't expanded to Medicaid, so we can do better. The Affordable Care Act was really essential in one important way, and that is that it really, I think, woke the American people up to understanding what we all should know, and that is that health insurance or guaranteed health coverage is a right, not a privilege. If we're going to make it a right and not a privilege, then it makes sense for all of us to combine together to make sure that each of us has that, the same way we have public education.
No, Nancy, you've shared a lot of information. Anything else we need to know?
When President Roosevelt introduced the idea of Social Security to the American people in one of his fireside chats, he warned the American people that there would be a lot of fear-mongering around the idea, that they would hear all kinds of scary things about it. But he reminded them that, as I'm trying to say now, that this concept, the concept of Social Security, which includes the concept of Medicare for all, is basic American values. This is a return to our values. It's not something new and strange. It's something that will benefit all of us. We will all be happy about it. It has stood the test of time. We all know someone who is on Medicare, and if you ask anyone who is on Medicare, those people love it. It can be improved, and we should improve it. And if we enact Medicare for all, we will have the money to improve it. You can take the per capita cost of any other industrialized country in the world and plug it into the federal budget, and we will show a surplus as far out as you can see. We have unsustainable healthcare costs, which are really as a result of private health insurance and for-profit in our health insurance system. What we need is to understand that healthcare is a right, and it should be extended to all of us, and if it is, it will make all of us healthier, it will make the economy more productive, it will make our workforce more productive, it will help children learn more. All I can say is good things about it. There is anything bad you hear about an improved Medicare for all is, as Franklin Roosevelt warned, simple fear-mongering by special interests who don't want to give up their profits, or people who are simply timid.